Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
First Peter chapter 1 is where I'm going to go to. And it will sound familiar when I read it, because Joe said it. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, I'm going to read for now. I'm just going to read verses 3 through 5. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Verse 5, we read, we are kept by the power of God. And that's my title, kept by God. Amen. Nowhere do we see in these words that it is us that keeps ourselves.
Exactly.
It does not say we help God keep ourselves. It does not say God works with us to keep ourselves. We are but clay pots. We have no power of ourselves to keep anybody. And I will say especially ourselves. If we look at another fallen clay pot for keeping us, we are looking in the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
Looking to or looking at ourselves is not being kept by the power of God. God does use something to keep us, and it is that gift which he gives, and it tells us right here what it is.
Yes, sir.
That he uses to keep us. Faith. I remember Earl saying, if you are looking at me, or if you are leaning on me, you are leaning on a broken stick. And I will add, and he may have said this, I don't know, but I'm adding this, you are sure to fall.
Yeah.
It says here that God through faith keeps us.
Amen.
That faith which you have heard of many times in this pulpit by different preachers, the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This all being because Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. That's what we read in this text. Our God, who has all the power, as we read in John 17, verses 1 and 2. Joe mentioned this too. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus Christ has all power over all flesh. If any man is to have any power, it comes from God Almighty, Jesus Christ. What does he say to Pilate in John 19, 10 and 11? Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So let's just go through this passage here in 1 Peter, and by his Spirit may we learn some things about those who are kept by the power of God through faith.
Amen.
First of all, who is God talking to through the pen of the Apostle Peter here?
Yeah.
Let's read verses 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Peter, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Amen.
So God is talking to all those scattered around who are the elect.
Amen.
Elect. That word which some are afraid to say. Joe was just mentioning this. Or they at least skim by it real fast.
Yeah.
Or they mar what God says by trying to say He chooses us based on us choosing Him.
Mm-hmm.
What stupidity. The word elect means favorite. God has some people who are His favorites.
Yes, sir.
He favors some people and others He does not favor. All this based on His will. He chose us purely based on what He willed to do, and this in Christ. For Christ was and is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We see that this choosing was based on the Son in verse 3. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
It was the intent of God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, and in doing so, He begot some favorites to a living hope. But it also says here, according to the foreknowledge of God. Is this saying God foreknew us because we in time would accept Him? Again, I will say, stupidity. We accept Him because He chose us, and as it tells us here, we come to begin to know how. Through sanctification of the Spirit.
Amen.
He comes to us giving us life. What do we read in John 17:2? As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him.
Amen.
He gives them this life, which Christ has wrought by His death, and then being resurrected. But these who have been given life do not walk around being totally oblivious to who God is and what He has done. They do not walk around and never know that they have been given life and by whom this life comes. Because it also says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it says here, it is unto something.
Yeah.
Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
This
life is given them for the express purpose that they should believe Jesus Christ is all to them.
Mm-hmm.
That all things come to them by and through Jesus Christ. They are given life so that they might hear the gospel and be cleansed by that gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does He finish that verse off with? What does it mean when God does this to His favorites? Grace and peace be multiplied.
Yeah.
They see where grace comes from, and they see where peace comes from, because Jesus Christ is both. He is the favorite, so He is grace. He is favored. Scripture also says He is full of grace and truth. He also made peace with God on our behalf, His favorites. And I just keep saying that because I know a lot of people don't like to hear me say that. So. These who are the favorites are not favorites based on anything they did or anything they do. Who knows how bad some of those who are whom He chose? I don't know, and I don't want to know. I want to know Him who is my peace with God. But listen, those who are His favorites are made good before God through Jesus Christ. They are made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
When His Spirit comes to them, giving them life, they are then made to partake of that divine nature. But those of us who are God's favorite are favored because of Jesus Christ, because he is the chosen one of God. Isaiah 42:1, you all know it. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
Amen.
It is Jesus Christ who was chosen to condescend. God came down and was made a little lower than the angels. He was made flesh. God was made a curse and sin for me and for you if he died for you. Then in raising from the dead, he raised us with him. And by this, we are enabled to be partaker of that divine nature. And God, as we read here, has a specific way that he lets us know about it all. And one more thing here. It says, through sanctification of the Spirit.
Yes.
Is this saying that the Spirit is being sanctified?
No.
The Spirit of God does not need sanctifying.
No.
So no, this is not talking about the Spirit of God being sanctified, but rather it is the Spirit who is doing the sanctifying. But is the Spirit of God sanctifying this old man of ours? Luke 5:37 we read, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. The Holy Spirit of God sanctifies that new man that he creates. He sanctifies him for the master's use. What is this use in a nutshell? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So now let's move on. What is it that we are given in Christ, as it says here? He has begotten us again. What does that mean? Has he begotten us sometime before with life, and now he has to give us life again? Actually, yes. Romans 5:12, what do we read? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life.
Amen.
He walked and talked with God. But then he disobeyed God's one command, just one.
That's right.
Don't eat of this specific and only this specific tree. This is the only tree that you should never eat of. Adam, our federal head, could not even keep from eating one fruit of a tree when he had numerous others to eat from. Yet there are those out there that want to teach that man can keep the law of God, which we see in the Ten Commandments, but they involve hundreds of commands that go along with them. Absurd. Man cannot keep God's law. We cannot even believe God as we should. What did the one man cry out that we read in Scripture? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
So by one man, that man who is our federal head, we had life before. But because of his disobedience, death passed upon all men. Now God has to beget us again.
Yes.
But this begetting is to a lively or a living hope. This hope is not a wish. It is a sure thing because of what that hope is based on. And we just talked about it. He was made a curse and sin for us. Then God raised him from the dead. Had God not been Christ not been raised from the dead, then we would not have life. Because our life is in him.
Yes.
But let's move on. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
There is an inheritance spoken of here. That all of those who are the favorites of God will come to possess one day. We do not have it right now, but we will have it. And turn over to me to Romans 8 with me, please. Romans 8. And we'll read about this. Romans 8 and verses 19 through 24. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? The redemption of our body.
Amen.
We are still in this flesh, and we cannot do the things that we would. We, in fact, do things we don't want to do. And we don't do the things we should, being in this flesh still. But we do have a good hope. So how is it that we have this good hope, and how is it that we will secure this or possess this? Verse 5 of our text. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
His favorites are kept by his power. God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever hath pleased him.
Yes.
That is the kind of power I need to keep me.
Exactly.
What about you?
Amen.
But it goes on to say, through faith.
Yeah.
Faith. When we think of faith, we think of believing God. And it is.
Yeah.
Faith is that which God gives, which enables us to believe God in all his promises. All his promises which are given in Jesus Christ the Lord. What do we read in John 6 verse 29? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen.
God works the work that enables his favorites to believe his son.
Exactly.
You must believe his son or you will die in your sins, we read in Scripture. God works in his favorites to believe him. God, through faith, as it says here in 1 Peter 1, is given us, and it is unto salvation. This salvation, it says, is ready to be revealed in the last time. We will one day see that new body he has promised. He has promised it, and he has made sure it will happen by what he himself has done and does. We do not see it now physically, but we do see it by faith given by God.
Yes, sir.
This faith does not look to ourselves for anything.
Amen.
We are not sufficient for anything. Christ is our sufficiency. We are enabled to be partakers of Jesus Christ now. And one day we will see him face to face and we'll be like him. But we see all this now by faith. But we do not fully possess it right now. But we do have a good hope for it because Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. But we are not sufficient for anything. And if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians 2 and verse 15. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 2 verses 15 through 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We are not sufficient to proclaim this truth, which is a savor to every man, either a savor of death unto death, or a savor of life unto life. Nothing else. Never a savor of death to life or life to death. But we are not sufficient to proclaim it, and we are not sufficient to believe it of ourselves. It is all by the power of God. I remember not too long ago after Earl died, Walter got up and said something that has stuck with me. He said about him being the pastor since Earl was gone. And I'm talking about the one who, you know, when I say pastor, I mean the one who actually is in charge. He has to kind of run things, you know. Sure. Because any man who gets up here and preaches to you is a pastor. A pastor feeds the flock, okay? But I'm talking about, you know, as we might call it, the bishop, you know, the one in charge. Preaching is feeding the flock, and if you're not feeding the flock, then you ought not be up here. But Walter said, and I don't have it word for word, but it's something like this. He said he was not ready for it. As he expounded further, he said something like this. We are never ready in and of ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's what we read right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. Our sufficiency is of God.
Amen.
If we are able to do anything, it will be the power of God and not of ourselves. This is how we are kept, and as we read in our text, that is a comfort to me. If I am to do something for God, it is because He works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God help me not to look to myself for anything, or I will fall. But we read in Scripture, we can do anything through Him. So last place I want you to turn, but turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do nothing if it were not for God Himself strengthening us.
Exactly.
But by His power, that is His strength, might, and authority, we can do all things.
Yes, sir.
My job. I mean, I think about my job. I really have to be honest with you. I don't know how I would be where I'm at if it wasn't for God. Mm-hmm. I am not that kind of person that's in that place. Me preaching. I would not be here had it not been for Him. I'm not sufficient of myself. So what is the result of this being kept by the power of God through faith? Verse 6 of our text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We can rejoice in these things. Knowing that we are given faith to believe God, and in believing Him, we know that we will one day possess eternal life and be done with this old man.
Yes, sir.
I can rejoice in that. We can rejoice knowing that God did everything needed to secure that happening. He paid the debt of sin for His favorites. No others, just His favorites. Because Christ died, yea, rather is risen again, then we are given life and the promise of a new body in Christ Jesus. We greatly rejoice, it says here. That word means to jump for joy. That's what the word means. We jump for joy knowing what God has done for us and does for us. Because it is by His power we are kept. What is there not to rejoice in when talking about that?
Yeah.
However, we do rejoice. We jump for joy. But at the same time, we are now in this world, in heaviness, this says, yes, through manifold temptations, or that is, a putting to proof.
Yeah.
That's what the word means. So God puts us through manifold, or that is, putting to proofs, to prove that faith which He has given. Let's read verses 7 through 9. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. These trials, these putting to proofs that God brings on us, is to try that faith. And in doing so, it causes us to continually to look to Him. These temptations, these putting to proofs, are a trial of your faith. And that's what it says in verse 8. What do these things do? They cause the one who possesses this faith to look to the source of that faith. And we cry out to Him, Lord, increase my faith. Just as I mentioned before, we cry out like the one man did, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.